This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to our opportunity to be together, First Baptist Church and all of our other friends. Even though we're scattered, we are still together in spirit. And I'm Pastor Mike. Good to see you all. Wherever you're staying, whatever you're doing, this is a great opportunity in the midst of a terrible time. I want to begin by having a word of prayer, and then I want to share some things with you today that I hope will encourage you as we live through this time of what truly is a national emergency. So I read you these words from Psalm 112, then I'll pray. I think that's what I'd like to do. Psalm 112, praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. And then you go to verse 7. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is upheld. He will not fear. That's where we are. That's the condition of God's people during a time like this of emergency, total uncertainty, and surprise. There's not any one of us that could have imagined this would have been happening just even a few weeks ago. It reminds us of what the Lord Jesus told us. Tribulations come, you will have tribulations in the world, but rejoice, I have overcome the world. And because the Lord has overcome the world, greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. Now, Psalm 112 is not my main focus today, but I just want to remind you, when you fear the Lord and when you trust the Lord, as he says in verse 7 of Psalm 112, he will not. The one who fears the Lord and trusts the Lord, he will not fear evil tidings. We've had evil tidings. You're going to have to determine how much you listen to the news, and it's important to have the latest information, but more and more and more will cause you discouragement and sometimes a lot of despair and worry. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting the Lord. The man who fears God, his heart is steadfast because he trusts the Lord. That's where we are. We're learning how to trust the Lord in these very critical days. He also says his heart is upheld. He will not fear. A heart that is upheld, a heart that is secure and steady, a heart that does not fear. We've been talking in the days gone by about changing our mind. That's it. We know that in the book of Psalms, the heart always was referring to the mind, the will, and the emotions. So I begin today by asking you this: what condition is your mind in today? Have you met with the Lord already today? Have you prayed? Have you spoken to him about your burdens? What you're concerned about, what you want him to do, how you want him to help you. Have you prayed for your friends and your family? Have you prayed for your church family? And for all of us who are these days intentionally, voluntarily scattering so that people can have help and can avoid this virus as it moves around. Well, we're day 5 out of 15. I was counting it up on my notes. I encourage you, if you stay in touch with us, please make sure on the website there's a way that you can sign up for Textify notifications, and I would really encourage you to do that if you've never done it. Please do it. It helps us to keep in mind. Read Watchman Prayer. If you're not a part of that, you can sign up also for that. You'll get information. And also, you can just continue to check the website, and we'll do our best to inform you. The pastors are at work. We're seeking to encourage you. We'll talk about some things 2 times a week. We'll have a broadcast on Wednesday evening, and then we'll also have one on Sunday that will go on. And so watch your phone for the texting time for when the live stream will come on so that you can have part in what we're doing. Now, today I'd like for you to take your Bible, and I'm going to, in these next few times as we meet while we're separated, not able to meet together, I'm going to call our attention to a very famous passage in the Word of God. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. Immediately, you know it. Many of you probably during these days have said these words to yourself, quoted them, or you've encouraged one of your friends or your family with these words. Well, I believe that these days are the days I need to use these words in this time of uncertainty in the world to remind you of the certainty, the absolute certainty God's people have regardless of what we face. So Romans 8, 28, I'm going to read just a few verses, and if you have your Bible, if you have your, as I say, copy of God's Word, you might pull it out, you might want to read along with me. I'm going to go back and read beginning in verse number 24. For in hope we have been saved, and but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one also hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. And in the same way, this is important these days we live in the same way the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So that's the message that we have from Paul here. A reminder that God calls all things to work together for good to those who love Him, and especially for those of us who know the Lord Jesus. So I want us to think about this today, and I'm going to call these next few times that I meet with you and talk with you, I'm going to entitle this, The Good from the Bad. The Good from the Bad. Oh, have we heard the bad? Oh, have we heard the exaggerations and the fear and the worry? As I said before, the uncertainty. Notice this very interesting phrase Paul begins with here. After he talks about and reminds us of hope that we have being saved and perseverance and enduring in order to have, that's what we're doing right now, enduring. He says in verse number 26 that the Spirit helps us to know how to pray when we don't know how to pray. And then he goes on and reminds us that he who searches the heart is the one who, he who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit, and he intercedes for us. So we have the Holy Spirit of God working in our lives in these days of uncertainty. It's a certain thing that if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, if you will pay attention, if you will listen, if you will yield yourself, if you will follow His leading, it is 100% certain that the Holy Spirit of God will show you, encourage you, fill you with strength and love, the love of God being spread out in our hearts, and then you will have a certainty. You will know something. And we know, look at that in verse 8, we know. We, the Christians, the believer knows something. Now there's a lot of information being given out these days, knowledge that we need to have, and it's important to know things about this virus, things about what we ought to be doing. It's important for us to understand all of these things, but it's important for us to recognize that we have knowledge. We know some things. So I want to observe a couple of things today. Number one, I want you to see the privilege. We know, and here's the privilege. We know that God causes all things to work together for good. There's the privilege. We know, those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, we know. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. Then I want you to see the people who know this. I've already said it, but the people who know this are those who love God and those who are called. So we have the privilege. The privilege is we know. Now look, in your most despairing moment in the days ahead, we know. Believers know this. God's people, God lovers, and those who are called by God to salvation. We know. Here's the privilege. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called. And then notice the last thing. The purpose of God in this privilege. The purpose of God in what He allows in all the circumstances of life. So you have here the privilege. You have here the people who enjoy the privilege. And then you have the purpose of God. According to His purpose, we have this privilege of allowing all things, good and bad, to work together. So that's the point of what I want you to hear today. I want you to think about this today with me. And the good news is this. The most important thing I can say to you is this, that there is good from the bad. There is good from the bad. So let's go through this a little bit in detail, just for a few minutes together, and I want you to think about it with me. First of all, let's think about this privilege of all things being good. Well, it's a certainty, as I've already mentioned. We can know this. There are some wonderful things that we can know. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death into life. So we know some things. We know this about, we know this, that God causes all things. We learn this from the Word of God. All through Scripture, from the beginning to the book of Revelation, you have this great truth, this privilege that God's people, God uses all the good and the bad for good. So there is good in the bad. There's good from the bad. We know that there's good from the bad. We know there's good that comes from the bad of this virus and all of the lack of being able to work and all the troubles and all these temporary things. But there is good from the bad. We know that we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. We know that at death, we will go to be with the Lord. I just read you 2 Corinthians 5:1. We know that if this earthly house is dissolved, we have a building with God. We know. Let us draw near with confidence, holy confidence. There is something that should be true in your life, and I hope it is today. Wherever you are, whatever you're feeling and thinking about today, I hope that you know this, and we know. That's our privilege. We know that God causes all things to work together for good, working together for good. The excellence, it's not only the certainty of this privilege, it's the excellence of this privilege. So it's like medicine. It's like putting together chemicals. This word to causes them to work together is the idea. Bringing together different chemicals that can have different reactions on their own, but when they're blended together by the chemist or by the pharmacist, they bring good to those who take the medicine from their doctor. So this is the picture we have here. God's bringing these things in your life and mine. And in addition to this national emergency and virus, you have a lot of other things that are going on in your life. You have a lot of other things that are happening to you right now. They were happening to you before this. They'll be happening to you unless the Lord Jesus comes after this is over. But it all blends together. It comes together because there's a certainty and there is an excellence. There's an excellence in this. God has planned this for us for whatever reason. He's allowed this to touch believers all around the world. So there is an excellence in this privilege that all of God's providence, all of it, works together for the best to His saints. All God's providence works to the best to His saints. In fact, we who love God and we're called by God can be assured that all these things are for our good. I hope you hear me on that. Let me say it again. If you love God and you're called to salvation, you're saved, you can be assured that all the things that are happening right now are for your good. And I hope you take encouragement in that. And so we're thankful. Proverbs 25:10 says, all the paths of the Lord. In other words, all the ways that the Lord works. Proverbs 25:10. All the paths of the Lord are, listen, mercy and truth to such as keep His covenant. You see, I'm not talking today about the lost world. The lost world must be saved. They're in terror today. Many of them are waking up for the first time thinking that they might not live and make it. But you see, for the believer, we have a certainty in the midst of the uncertainty. We recognize these things and we understand that this is the certainty. This is the excellence of this privilege we have that God causes all these things to work together for His good. Be encouraged today. And we know, let's read it again, verse number 28. And we know that God causes all things. There are good things and there are bad things. I'm saying the good from the bad these days. The good from the bad. We know this privilege that God causes the good from the bad and the bad and the good all together to work for those who love God. It's for us that these things are happening. So you must remember that. When you're wondering about pay, when you're wondering about your salary, when you're wondering about your job, when you're wondering about your family, and you're wondering about other things, what will you do? You must remember, these things are for you. We do not always understand the mystery of that, but these things are for you. And so there is a certainty. Secondly, I want to talk for just a few minutes about the worst things and how they work for good. The worst things and how they work for good. Well, you see, there's several observations I can make here. God's at work. First of all, He allows these things to come. He permits them. What did Job say? The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We know that the Lord allows and permits these things to take place. He is much at work in the world today. There's no shortage of what God is seeking to do. So we must begin here remembering as we think about the worst of things and the work for good, or that is the idea that there is good from the bad, remember that the Lord also allows these bad things to happen and to come. He has its purposes for what He's trying to do in the life of those who do not know the Lord Jesus and are saved, but He also has His purpose in allowing these to come in our life. You see, all through the Word of God, God's people have never been exempt from the troubles, the pestilence, the worries, the disease. They were there. But God protects. God does His work in miraculous ways. But they're always included in these hard days, just as we are today. So think about this. When the early church in the book of Acts, some of you have been with me in the book of Acts on Wednesday nights, and we finished doing that a while back. Think about this. When the early church had those glorious days of Pentecost, 3,000 people saved, and then in just a few months, just a little while, they were all scattered. They lost their property. They lost their homes. They had to move away and flee to other places to live. What it seems like was a bad thing was one of the best things of all, because the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was shared around the world of that time. I think about those things and realize that God used these believers in the worst of times to do the best of work. He uses His disciples in order that we might demonstrate to the world our Christ-likeness. I hope that you're living as light and salt in these days. Well, another thing, troubles work for good. They're at work. Troubles are working for good. Think about this, Jeremiah 24:5. This is one of those interesting phrases talking about why did God send His promised people into Chaldean captivity. I just pick up one part of the phrase, Jeremiah 24:5. I sent them out of this place to the land of the Chaldeans for their good. Now, none of them believed that. None of Israel believed it was for their good, but it was for their good. None of us believe this is for our good, but it is for our good. Psalm 119:71. It is good for me that I was afflicted. It was good for me. So we must come to the place, my dear friends, I've said it to you before, rather than saying to the Lord, why, Lord, this bad trouble? Why? We say, thank you for this trouble. Because, as we've seen already, and we know, this is our privilege. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who are his lovers and who are called according to his purpose. So we think about this. We think about Joseph. What did Joseph say when he talked to his brothers? You meant what you did for evil, but God meant it for good. God meant it for good. How we must come in our praying and in our times with the Lord to say, God means this for good. Lord, you mean this for good. Thank you, Lord, for allowing this to happen. You mean it for good. So let me just make a couple of other quick thoughts about this, and I'll be about finished for today. I think this is enough. As we think about the good from the bad, as we think about how the bad things work for good, well, trouble teaches us about sin, doesn't it? We've seen some examples of when trouble comes, people sometimes get greedy. When trouble comes, sometimes people get proud and arrogant. When trouble comes, sometimes we in our own lives have fear and worry. Oh, sin, when the pressure comes, when the worry comes, that's when we sometimes think to ourselves, oh my, I have sin in my life. How could I have done this? Trouble also teaches us about ourselves. Teaches us to think about what it is that we have strength to deal with when we worry. It teaches us about ourselves. We must understand our heart. We must understand the things that pressure us and cause us to worry. And so trouble teaches us about ourselves. Trouble, God, let me say this, God uses trouble to reveal the real you to you. God uses trouble to reveal the real you to you. Troubles make us holy. As a result of this, what is it that Paul teaches us in Romans 5? So you endure in order that you might have proven character. And as you grow in godliness. This is God's way. It's always been God's way for the trouble to bring about and produce. Tribulation produces endurance. And then we seek to live as holy people in an unholy world. So that's what God expects of us, First Baptist Church, for us to endure and to be his holy people in these times of trouble, in the way we speak with the Lord and go to the Lord, and in the way we treat our neighbor. We also realize that troubles make us holy and not only take away the sinfulness from our life and clean us up, but also this is an example of being like the Lord Jesus. A man of sorrows, acquainted with much grief. He endured the cross. He endured what he endured in the bad things brought the good, the greatest of bad. He was crucified when he did not deserve crucifixion, and the greatest bad became the greatest good, salvation through Jesus Christ, through the cross, and through his suffering. So when trouble comes, we're like the Lord Jesus. And also, by the way, trouble helps you kill sin. It helps you to kill sin. Some of those things that we used to think were so good and so wonderful that we lingered and held to. Oh, now this trouble kills that away. You can't do those things you used to do. Now there's a limitation. So, praise the Lord, allow this time of trouble, these bad things, to bring the good of killing sin in your life. Also, trouble loosens our grip and our love of the world. I guess we've all been let down, haven't we? The money won't always do it. The job won't always do it. The government can only do so much. Our family can only do so much. What will we do? We must turn to the Lord. We must recognize the world and its promises. They're faulty. They're an illusion. They're smoke and mirrors. They don't last. So this is a chance to change your commitment to the world. Loosen the grip of the world is loosened and shaken when we go through times like this. And finally, trouble makes way for comfort. When we were studying the book of Hosea, in the Valley of Achor is a door of hope. The Valley of Achor was an ancient battleground, but here in the Valley of Achor, Hosea says, to these dear people of the Israelites, as they had traveled and gone away from God, he says to them, in the Valley of Achor is a door of hope. I say to you, as best I can, I hope you're listening to me, that in this valley of difficulty, time of national emergency, worldwide emergency, there is a door of hope. Make sure that you see it. Make sure that you enter by it. So we read, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. So we say to the Lord, thank you for these things. This is your purpose. So what do I have for you for daily use? I hope you'll take a few of these things and think about them until we talk again on Wednesday night. First of all, look for the good and the bad in all your situation. Why, you may be talking about something and saying, well, that's really bad, but as you say it's bad, pause for a moment and ask, but what's the good in this? What's the good in the bad that's happening in my life right now? What's the good in the bad? You see, we have a certainty. We know this. We have a privilege of knowing that God takes the bad and brings good out of it. The other thing I'd mention to you, a couple of other things, is thank God for the trouble. You have to get to the place as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as one who fears the Lord and trusts Him, to thank Him for this. We're all going to get impatient. This is going to go longer than we think. I know everyone's trying to talk to us about this will be shortened, but it's dealing with a virus. It's going to take time for this to happen. There are so many, many people in the United States of America. It's a massive country. This is going to take time. So we thank God for the trouble. We thank God for the inconvenience. We thank God for our health. Make sure you take care of yourself. Do what the medical people have said to you to do. If you're in the older age group, like myself, do what you're supposed to do. Take care of yourself when you're in mixed company. Keep your distance. Respect other people. And do what you can do. Also, ask God for wisdom. This is important. To see what you can do during this bad time as a follower of Jesus. Now, we're going to have all kinds of call-outs that are going to come from the church. Our deacons will call. We'll put on the Textify. We'll put on the website. We'll send it on Watchman Prayer. We'll have needs that will come up for our people. We're still First Baptist Church. Though we're scattered, we're still together. And so we must continue to think about what we're going to do. We must continue to do our ministry to one another. So maybe this is a chance. I was thinking about this. I'm trying to do it. Maybe you do it. Pick out each day someone that you will text the scriptures to encourage them. Pick out someone who perhaps you know that's a widow or by themselves or doesn't have many family. Call them on the phone for a minute and talk to them. Just visit with them. Write a note. But mainly use your computer and social media. This is a good time actually now to use it for good. So be encouraging people. Don't join into the rage of criticism and craziness. Join in saying a good word to someone else. Check on your neighbors. Find a way to do what you need to do in the bad. Bring good out of the bad by what you choose to do. Do what you're supposed to do. Be a faithful believer. Continue every day to worship God. As a family, gather for family worship. What a great time to reunite your family, be together, to encourage each other, to love each other, to do things like you've never gotten to do before, but include your walk with God. Oh, I hope that you're spending time in the Word of God each day. I hope that you're praying. Hope you're meeting with the Lord every day to talk to Him. Don't forget the commitment to our church. We still have our work to do. Your tithes and your offerings are very important. I realize we all have to evaluate how we can do that. But you can do it online. You can bring it to the church. There are ways you can do it and drop it in the place for that. Watch for the announcements about your tithes and offerings. We need to continue to do that so we can maintain our ministry and do the things God's called us to do. All the pastors are at work. All of them are doing their assigned work. We're not meeting together and working. We're doing it just like we've been asked separately. So now I ask you, find something and do some good in the bad. Sacrifice at this time. Sacrifice. This is not a time for us to be like the world in greediness. This is a time for us to share what we have with one another. Whether it's our finances, whether it's our food, whether it's our time, whatever it is, find a way to do that and the people will be blessed. So love God, love your neighbor, and find a way to share the gospel and do good to others during these desperate, desperate days. So what do we read here today, church, as we go? I read it to you again. I hope you're encouraged today. I wish I could see all of your faces. I miss being together with you. We all miss being together. We'll be together soon again. Lord willing, we look for that day to be quicker than later. But we read now Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. Heavenly Father, bless my dear friends scattered all around Dixon County and the surrounding counties. Bless First Baptist Church as we continue our work. Even though we're not together, we're together in spirit. We do our work in the name of Jesus. We continue to worship you and praise you and honor you and minister to others. We continue to give. We continue to tithe and do our offerings, and we do our ministries as we've done before. Give us wisdom to know how to do our work in the days ahead. Show it and show us all. Speak to us one another, and may we encourage one another in the days ahead as we go through these days of trial. We thank you for them. We don't understand them, but we thank you for all that you have done for us, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you soon. And I hope that today is the best day that you've had in a long time. Praise the Lord. God bless you.